प्रायेण देव मुनय प्रायेण देव मुनय स्वविमुक्ति कामा मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नु पश्ये प्रायेण देव मुनय स्वविमुक्ति कामा मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नु पश्ये भ्रमतो नु पश्ये प्रायेण generally in almost all cases deva O my lord munayaha the great saintly persons sva personal, own, vimukti, kamaha, ambitious for liberation from this material world. Maunam, silently, charanti, they wonder. And here Srila Prabhupada adds some qualifying words, in places like the Himalayan forests where they have no touch with the activities of the materialists. Vijane, in solitary places. Na, not. Para, artha, nishtaha. Again, Srila Prabhupada gives an extended meaning. Interested in working for others. So that sums up para artha nishtaha. And the whole comment Prabhupada gives, interested in working for others by giving them the benefit of the Krishna consciousness movement by enlightening them with Krishna consciousness. Na, not, etan, these, vihaya, leaving aside, Kripanan. How would you translate that? Kripanan. Well, you can look at the what. Yeah, miser. And here Prabhupada has translated it as fools and rascals. Because they are misers, they are fools and rascals. That we'll find in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, commentary. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya speaking to Gargi, who is a Kripana, one who does not utilize the human form of life for attaining the Akshara, who does not, for not knowing the Akshara, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada gives more explanation of the word kripanan, fools and rascals, and then engaged in materialistic activity who do not know the benefit of the human form of life. There should be a comma after the word activity, otherwise it doesn't properly make sense. I can make a note of that. This was recently re-typeset and looks like they left out a comma. What are we doing here? 7:09:44. Vimamukshe. I desire to be liberated and to return home back to Godhead. Ekaha. Alone. So this is Prahlad speaking, right? So what is he saying? I want to go. I desire to be liberated and return back to God, home back to Godhead alone. Is that what he's saying? What's the next word? Na, not. You have to be careful when translating. Sometimes you see translations and they miss the negative term and give the opposite meaning. Anyam, other, tvat, but for you, asya, of this, sharanam, shelter, brahmataha, of the living entity rotating and wandering throughout the material universes. Anupashye, do I see? Translation, Prahlad Maharaj speaking, My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Munavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivodvijay paraduryatyaya vaitaranyaha. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayana para sarve nakutaschena bhibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshvapituliartha darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. That's the end of that translation, continuing the purport. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal, for a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyang tvadasya sharanang brahmato nupashe. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Prayena deva munaya svavimukti kamaha monam charanti vijane naparartha nishtaha naitan vihaya kripanan vimamuksha eko nanyang tvad asya brahmato Sharanam Brahmato Nupashe. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mounavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. There are many saintly persons indeed. The persons who are being criticized here, indirectly criticized, they're accepted as being saintly, but at the same time they're being criticized for not being interested in delivering others. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he refers to persons who are not really saintly at all, but are just making a show of being saintly. So there are two classes here, and the borderline between them might be not very clear to understand. On the one hand, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to spread Vedic culture, Indian culture. Sometimes he referred to Hindu culture. He mostly didn't, but sometimes he did. Bharatiya Sanskriti, he used that term. He wanted to spread that all over the world. On the other hand, when speaking in public in India, he was stronger than in any other place. He was very, some of his lectures in India, actually the especially toward the end. The last public lectures Srila Prabhupada gave were in Bombay in 1977. Prabhupada was extremely heavy. He was really strong. And people were getting up and leaving. And then afterwards Prabhupada said, it's better to give the books because they may not be able to take what he said. I was just listening now to Srila Prabhupada saying, you have to call these people, you have to tell them they're mudhas. He said, you may sometimes use soft language, but Srila Prabhupada, he often didn't use soft language. He was very strong, But it was the strongness of a mother punishing a child to rectify out of deep love and compassion. This word compassion is sometimes, well, it's always misused when applied in the material sense. For instance, most people, if they were asked to think of an example of compassion in the modern age, they would probably say Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who picked up dead people from the street and put them in her home, and they died there. And if they recovered, she put them back on the street. But Srila Prabhupada picked up people who were dying, which means everyone's dying, right? Anyone not dying? Everyone's dying. Coronavirus, no coronavirus. Everyone's dying, and gave them the way to go beyond birth and death, to go back home, back to Krishna, to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Now this statement, Prahlad Maharaj says, that people who are only interested in their own welfare, they're spiritually interested, but they're interested in their own welfare. This can also be applied to people who come to Vrindavan, but are not interested in the welfare of others. They want to go back to Godhead, which is good. It's much better to retire and live in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna and prepare yourself to go back to Godhead than to sit in Delhi in front of a TV and die and go to hell. Nevertheless, and Srila Prabhupada he wanted to make arrangement for that. You may remember reading in one of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam commentaries that Srila Prabhupada says, we invite all the retired people of the world to come and live in Vrindavan. That's a lot of people. Prabhupada said, we already have our guest house and we can construct new guest houses. You have to construct a lot of guest houses if all the retired people of the world are going to come and live in Vrindavan. So that, yeah, you wouldn't have enough space in Vrindavan. It would have to, and then you have to make multi-story. Yeah, now Vrindavan's going multi. Yeah, all of India's going multi-story now. Although in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada said for the residential buildings, shouldn't go up. What was it? More than 3 stories. He didn't like high rise. For the temple it could be high rise, but not for the residential buildings. So that's very good to retire in Vrindavan, but Srila Prabhupada himself showed the example of retiring from family life and coming to Vrindavan. And the people who saw him there at that time, there'll still be some people who you must meet many people here in Vrindavan who saw Prabhupada in Vrindavan when they were children. They'll be old people now. So they must have presumed he's another Bengali Babu who's retired and he's come to live in Vrindavan. And they were surprised that he kept on going outside to Delhi and different places for preaching and for writing for publishing his books and his Back to Godhead magazine. But Srila Prabhupada's plan in coming to Vrindavan was not to stay in Vrindavan. In one sense, he didn't need to come to Vrindavan because he's always in Vrindavan, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here, that a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada was clearly in that situation. So in one sense, he didn't have to come to Vrindavan, although naturally, if you have to, we have to live somewhere, and if you're going to live somewhere in this world, then why not Vrindavan? If you're a devotee, naturally you want to live in Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri or any other place connected, directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada was always thinking how to go outside Vrindavan, which ultimately he did so in the most glorious of ways and brought Krishna consciousness to all the poor fools and rascals, because he knew that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, he wished to bring them back to shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. There are several verses in the Bhagavatam which they really, they capture the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Well, they do, yes, but but Srila Prabhupada, he was very much in that mood of this verse. And then yesterday I quoted that verse, Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport to that verse, it's almost like a manifesto for his plans for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. If the leaders of the world contribute 50% of their income, and then he wanted to interest the leaders of society. Ultimately, Krishna gave him the what was considered almost the dregs of society. Dregs means, shall I tell them what dregs means? It literally means when you make wine and then some sediment settles down to the bottom of the bottle. So it's the rubbish which goes to the bottom. So we talk about the dregs of society, the hippies. Almost, not quite, because they were lower than that, the Bowery bums. But they're really the persons who were considered the lowest and the worst, and Srila Prabhupada engaged in. Not you. Well, I think I employed that there, but what did he say? Prabhupada, he didn't have much good to say about the hippies, actually. If you see in his, sometimes he said the good thing is they're not attached to their family. That's a good thing. It's a good thing about them. He said Indians are too much attached. But Srila Prabhupada, he lifted up the fools and rascals, and he wanted to save the whole world. And a major part of his plan in doing that was preaching Krishna consciousness among the fools and rascals in India. Because it's not, don't mind me saying so, but it's not, although birth in India is considered pious compared to taking birth elsewhere, it doesn't mean that simply by being born in India, you're automatically a very spiritual person. There was one very prominent person who used to live in Mathura, who was a complete demon. His name was Kamsa. So it's not that everyone born in India is a devotee. I mean, ultimately everyone is, because keho mane, keho na mane, sabtar das. Some people accept it and some people don't. Everyone's his servant. Those who don't accept it, they're called demons, generally speaking. So there are plenty of them also, but Srila Prabhupada, he concentrated a lot of his attention in preaching in India. And he wanted, he quoted so many times, Bharata Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo. Manusha janma ja janma sharta kari karo para upaka. So most Indian people are very interested in making their life, their janma sartak, saartha. They want to get money. They're very interested in that. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said janma sartak karo, he didn't mean get a lot of money. He meant to chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Janmasata kari karo para upaka, and work for the benefit of others. And by para upaka, Srila Prabhupada didn't mean mundane philanthropists. By the at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. By philanthropists we can understand those who are interested in bodily and social welfare work. The amazing or paradoxical situation is that if one wants to do good for others, you have to fight with them. Because they are, a term that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used, apaswartha parayana. The swart. Everyone's interested in swart, self-interest. And here in the seventh canto we find Prahlad Maharaj saying, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Durashaye bahirata maninas andhayatandai rupaniyamanas te pishatantram urudam nibadhaha. That people in general, they do not know that their real self-interest is in recognizing that we are all servants of Krishna. What's so fascinatingly interesting? Oh, Krishna. Well, at this time it's supposed to be Shabda Brahma. And I put Krishna at the lotus feet of Tulsi. You have to think about that, right? Oh, by the way, I thought now that's in my, the Panchatattva here are dancing above the head of Bankei Bihari. You might want to rectify that. There are so many things. So the people don't know that their real goal of life is Krishna, and they have many material desires which are not good for them. They're stuck on the external platform of, and they like to be led by, they're blind and they like to be led by blind people. The elections, always there's some elections going on. In India there are either elections about to be going on, or just finished. It's always like that, isn't it? Just in Delhi, they finished, and somewhere else soon there'll be some other elections. But no one is coming and saying, we're going to establish Krishna-conscious society, and you can vote for that. But the one who can make more factories, more slaughterhouses. Recently in Bhopal there was some protest because the slaughterhouse, they were going to make a new slaughterhouse next to several temples. But it wasn't that they were making a new slaughterhouse, they weren't protesting about that, but they were protesting it's close to temples. So they should say, you move it somewhere else. So people, they don't know, and therefore they get more and more entangled, tightly tied up in material existence. Now, you'd think that if someone comes to them and says that, well, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, this is what you really need to do, they say, oh, thank you very much. But even in India, most people don't. Why is that? Matiena Krishna Parata Svatova Mitovi Badyeta Griha Vratanam. Because they've already decided, it's an axiom in everyone's mind, an unarguable point that we should be happy in material existence. And therefore if you tell people you have to surrender to Krishna and this is what we really need to do, then they may become angry because they are upa swartha parayana. They're attached to that which is against their real self-interest. What could be more foolish than being attached to something which is against your self-interest? But even materially it's like that. And the evidence of that is, you see anyone who's smoking, because on the cigarette packet it says things like cancer, smoking causes cancer, smoking. There's in America they say something like the Director General of the United States Department of Health has ascertained that smoking can kill you, or something like that. And some they condense it down to two words, smoking kills. And still people, they smoke. They buy, it's written in big letters on the packet. Still they smoke. They go, they work hard, they get money. What could be more foolish? Even if you think that material happiness, I want to be happy materially, but for that you need a healthy body, right? Even if you have lots of money, if you're unhealthy, then life is miserable. And you have lots of money, it's also miserable, but there's some illusion that I shouldn't be miserable. But if you're unhealthy, then, unless you're a transcendentalist, it's hard to be happy. That's why Mahananda here is a very popular person. Not because he's chanting Hare Krishna, but because he cures people from... Now you'll be harassed all day after I told him that. People are addicted to that which is against their real self-interest. And if we try to tell them what's in their real self-interest, then in many cases they become angry. That was how long ago? In Telangana we met those Hindu preachers. That was about a month ago, something like that. And these were people who are supposed to be preaching Hinduism to stop the Christian onslaught of conversion. And I said, okay, let's read the first verse of Bhagavatam to give a real eye. Because the Christians are talking about God, the Hindus are talking about God. Let's see what the Bhagavatam says to give a real conception. And he became so angry. I said, please just listen. And then he just ran out of the room, wouldn't come back again. Hare Krishna. So it can be very tough preaching. One way, because there are so many pious people in India who are inclined to bhakti. So one way we can preach is to tell them all the nice things about bhakti and don't tell them the things. There's, you chant Hare Krishna, you don't tell them you have to surrender and all this kind of thing. And because people are pious, they know that, well, meat eating's not very good. That's why at Navaratri, instead of 600 trucks of meat coming in daily to Murgi Mandi in Delhi, only 60 trucks come, and 540 trucks less. So it's Navaratri. It's not that the Muslims stopped eating meat. It's the Hindus. So they stop eating meat because they know it's not right. During Navaratri, at least. So they know, actually, it's not very good. So if you preach them a little bit, they can often become vegetarian. If they're not already vegetarian, there's still many people who are vegetarian. Of course, our movement's not meant for making vegetarians. There are plenty of monkeys in Vrindavan, as you may have noticed, and they're mostly vegetarian. Sometimes monkeys can eat meat, chimpanzees, but mostly they don't. And the monkeys in Vrindavan are good sadhus, so they don't. At least I haven't seen. So, to get people to follow the regulated principles, especially among the middle class kind of people, already somewhat cultured, and most of them aren't alcoholics, or most of them don't drink a lot, Although among the lower class people, many of them drink a lot, so it's difficult, the men, so it's difficult to get them to stop that. So it's quite easy to get them, not easy, but relatively speaking, it's relatively easier in India to get people to chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles than it is, for instance, in America, among the non-Indian population of America, because people are more pious. However, to get them to fully accept this philosophy and apply themselves to it, that may not be so very easy. Prabhupada's purports are very strong, pinching. For instance, as again, this purport, Srila Prabhupada finishes it by saying, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. That's just about everybody who the average pious Hindu holds in high regard. Pseudo-spiritualists, pseudo-transcendentalists, pseudo-meditators, monists. Practically, Srila Prabhupada is saying that all the sadhus, they're all bogus. He doesn't exactly say it in those words. And then philosophers and philanthropists. Now, if we tell people we're going to build schools and hospitals and feed the poor, and the average pious Hindu will think, well, that's para upakar, doing good for others. If we want to raise funds and we say we're going to build a school for the poor children, people will be, oh, very, very good. But if we tell them we are only going to teach them from Prabhupada's books, they'll say, very bad. Why are you doing that? What are they going to do in future? How are they going to fill their belly by chanting Bhagavad Gita? People say like that. Even our own devotees say like that. Because we preach to them like that, that we should open hospitals and schools and all this kind of thing. So it's relatively easy to get people to chant Hare Krishna. But to fully surrender to Krishna's instructions as given by Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, that's a more difficult thing, because people are upper swartha parayana. They're attached to that which is against their own self-interest. They're attached to what Srila Prabhupada refers to as the polluted aim of life. Polluted aim of life. The idea that we shall be happy in this world, and we want to be good people, but being good means to help people to live happily in this world. And if they chant Hare Krishna, all right, that's very good. But the main aim of life is to be happy in this material world. Just like we often see young men want to join this movement, and the parents say, you stay at home and chant Hare Krishna, what's the difference? They don't see any. Well, they do see a difference. They see a difference that my child already invested so many lakhs of rupees in his education, and now he's just going to go away. And what do I get out of it? It's I just presumed he'd be a good boy and get a good job and earn lots of money, and now he's just lost. So people with this polluted aim of life, they may be pious, but they have a polluted aim of life, because andhayatandhayarupaniyamanas, they're led by the blind, and they like that. They like to be led by the blind. And so their idea of being a good Hindu is that you contribute for various welfare projects. This idea was brought in by Vivekananda, that Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. And the Christians, they're making hospitals and schools, so we also have to do the same thing. That's why they called it the Ramakrishna Mission. Why did they call it mission? It's an English word, obviously. And that was adopted from the idea of the Christian missionaries who open hospitals and schools, and then their idea is to convert people. So the idea is that, you see, they're better than us because they're looking after the people. We're not looking after our people. So we should... Actually, it's a long history, how these things were going on in society, and then the British changed the whole social structure, and then the Rajas, and who were supposed to do all these social welfare works, they didn't do it because they were disempowered. And it's a long history, but anyway, this idea is very prominent now that to be a Hindu spiritual leader, you have to do something good for the people in terms of their bodily and social welfare. But the real understanding is that bodily and social welfare is not of any real value whatsoever. Not saying that there shouldn't be bodily and social welfare, but to promote that as the goal of life is wrong, because it's not. Because however comfortably you may live, you have to die, and then dying without knowing Krishna is a waste of life. The opportunity of human life is lost. So we have to, often we have to fight with people. We have to tell people what they need to hear. They don't... rather than what they like to hear. If we tell people chant Hare Krishna, they say, oh, okay, nice, yeah. And then fully accept the instructions of Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanu Ragaha. Yeah. Giving up all the nonsense hogwash ideas, you fully surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Listen. Don't make photos now. So they may not be so willing for that. So we find it's very good preaching of our movement if we tell people you chant Hare Krishna and you contribute for schools and hospitals and all these kinds of things. Many people like it, so that mostly in India nowadays people think that the Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON, is a movement that feeds poor children and opens hospitals. It's a fact. It is a fact. They don't know that the main aim is to give the message of Bhagavad Gita. They know we also distribute these books. But they don't... The message which Prabhupada came to give is not getting out, even to our own devotees, because we're giving another message. Whoops, I'm not supposed to say things like that. I just remember, I'm not supposed to. Anyway, too late. So preaching means we can see the result of preaching when people understand what Prabhupada was teaching, especially the supposed to be educated section of society. They can understand. Some things people have understood. One thing that was a very strong point of contention when Srila Prabhupada first brought Western disciples to India was that Westerners cannot be Brahmanas or Sannyasis. Brahmanas or Sannyasis. I was just listening to Srila Prabhupada. He didn't mention the name, but I can from the context it's clear he was referring to the Shankaracharya of Puri, who was saying that these Westerners, they can enter the temple, they have to take birth again. And Prabhupada was not happy with him at all. He said he doesn't know the philosophy, that he said such a person is not fit to be a guru. He calls himself Jagat Guru, but he's not gone anywhere. He hasn't gone over the Jagat. He's just sitting in one place. So that's widely, still not fully accepted, but it's widely accepted. And there that Westerners can be Brahmanas because there are various reasons. Srila Prabhupada established in Vrindavan Krishna Balaram Temple, and people come and they see a very good standard of deity worship, which was practically unique in India at the time. No one was looking after deities and decorating so nicely at the time. Srila Prabhupada revolutionized deity worship. And that's another point, that Prabhupada made the standard so high for everyone to come up to, and now we're bringing it down again in the name of whatever, worshipping Gornitai dolls or whatever. But people see that when they see devotees who are living as devotees and they know Shastra, which their own children don't know, and they see Brahmana, what is it to be a Brahmana? What does it mean to be a Brahmana in India today? It means your name is Sharma. Here's a Sharma right here. He's a Brahmana Vaishnava. Otherwise, now he's retired, but by job, he was a highly placed, well-respected Shudra. Don't mind me saying. But to accept a salary from the government of Bahrain is Shvavriti, the mode of living of a dog. Don't mind me saying, but it's in the Shastra. And we've known each other for many years, so... And I'm a sannyasi. And he accepts that I'm a sannyasi, so I can get away with it. But not recommended for everyone to just go up to the nearest Sharma and say, actually, you're a dog. Not generally recommended. He might send a gunda to kill you. Or he might be a gunda who's killing others also. Because there's one, I saw one terrorist, a gunda, they arrested somebody. His name was something Pujari. Ravi Pujari, yeah. So he's a gunda. There's no money in being a pujari, so be a gunda. If people don't give us money, we'll take it. So that one thing in India, it's widely accepted, not by everyone, that Westerners can be Brahmanas. And by social conditions, most of the Brahmanas, even if they want to live as Brahmanas, they are forced to do some job or something like that. So it's become meaningless. If you're a Sharma or a Shukla or whatever, there's no advantage. In fact, it's a disadvantage. Because you don't get reservations. It's a social advantage to be at the bottom level of society, because then you have more chance of getting the reservation. So, for various reasons, then that's accepted. But many of the points of our philosophy, the people don't know at all. In fact, they have a misimpression. In one city, one devotee, or a few devotees, they went to open a center, and one man offered, I'll give you so much land and so many crores of rupees, you build a hospital and manage it, ISKCON. And he said, well, we don't do it. He said, what do you mean you don't do it? You do do it. He thought that's what we are supposed to be doing, because that's the impression that people get, because that's what we do. Of course, if we say ISKCON opens hospitals, from within side is to say, no, we don't. But then when they ask you, what are you doing for the people, say, well, we open hospitals. So it depends on who you're talking to. But the impression is that this movement is opening hospitals and feeding the poor. But the purpose of the Krishna Conscious Movement is, Prabhupada writes here, to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And that we're a long, long way from doing. That people can understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that is a great challenge for this movement. Those of you who are being trained in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Actually, we're talking about the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, but of course the very basis of that is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Otherwise, you can't even begin to enter into the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the chance to absorb that knowledge and to teach that to others. Janma sartak kari karo para upaka. Make one's life successful by Krishna consciousness and do good to others. So just like Srila Prabhupada came to India, came to Vrindavan, and he sat here for some time. That was preparation. Writing the first canto of Bhagavatam was preparation. And with that, he went out. He had a plan. Not that he was just coming to Vrindavan and doing some scholarly work, but he had a plan to take that out to the world beyond. So that can be your plan also. Of course, you could be a teacher also in a school like this, because there will always be schools like this needed. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted every one of his centers, every ISKCON center, to be a Varnashram college. So this kind of teaching should go on in every center of ISKCON, that devotees are given a thorough knowledge of the books of Srila Prabhupada and how to apply them. But this is the mission, this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and it's the mood of Prahlad Maharaj that Srila Prabhupada very much he embodied. Otherwise, people are spoiling their lives. Just 2 evenings ago, I was speaking to a young woman from Delhi who is the daughter of one of my disciples. And she wants to go to America to study psychology. No, I'm getting mixed up between two different daughters. So one of them, she's going to go, and she's in Bombay now, she's studying something, and she has an aim to start a business and this and that, and not marry. That was very strong, not marry. And she's convinced, I'm going to do my business and this and that. And what are you doing? Spoiling your life. But women, you've got to get out and do something big and prove yourself. Actually, I should tell, who is that? Your wife. I should tell your wife to speak to her, because she did that, right? She was in Dubai and getting ahead in the corporate world and totally miserable. But this idea, especially women, you've got to make a big thing, show yourself, we can do it. And they just end up completely miserable. Even more miserable than the men who try to make a big show of themselves. Because it's, even materially, it doesn't fit with the psychological makeup that Mother Nature has given to them. So, young, ambitious, you can do it. I can do it. Young, ambitious, foolish. What can you do? You can't start. It's just like someone's jumping off the cliff, and you can't stop them. It's by law you're not allowed to stop them. You have to give them their freedom. And the present government's very much into that. Women empowerment. And women already empowered by Krishna to give birth to children. Men can't do that. They're never going to be equal rights. Because women give birth to children. Men can't do that. So they have their empowerment. And if they follow, that's a major theme of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? To follow one's own swadharma. Shrayan svadharma vigurna. Paradharma bhayavaha. To follow one, that we have a certain psycho-physical makeup given to us according to karmana daivanitrena jantur deho papatya, according to our according to our previous activities and our desires under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have a certain kind of body. So if we act with that certain kind of body to serve Krishna, Swakarmana tam abhyarcha, siddhim vindate manavaha. That's the easy way to get perfection. Act according to our psychophysical makeup in a manner ordained by Shastra to worship Krishna, and we can attain perfection. But this idea, I have to show myself to be very great and prove myself, it's the Ishvaro ham maham bhogi, Ishvara bhav, in the wrong way. Ishvara bhav is already also there in Bhagavad Gita for the kshatriyas. That's one of their qualities, Ishvara bhava. But that means that they act as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to protect others. So for kshatriyas, that's good. But for someone else to think, I'm on top of the world. I'm enjoying myself. Siddhoham. I don't need anyone's help. I can do everything by myself. I'm happy. Internally they're miserable, but you have to show you're happy. Otherwise you're a failure. That's the worst word in all of India, isn't it? It's not surabhatya. That's not the worst word. The worst word is failure. If you're a failure, fasi lagana, could go. Isn't it? The worst thing, failure, if you're a failure. A devotee was telling me, I'm fed up with my business. I want to leave and go to the country and start a farm, chant Hare Krishna. But he said, the only thing, I'm afraid everyone will say, I'm running away. You are running away. It makes sense to run away. If a tiger's chasing you, you should run away. Well, maybe it doesn't make sense because the tiger will get you anyway. Maybe just chant Hare Krishna. But anyway, if there's something bad, it makes sense to run away from it, doesn't it? So if you're in a situation where it's absolutely horrible now and you're going to go to hell, then run away from it. But what will people say? It's andhayata andhaya upaniyamana. The blind people are accusing me. There's that story... that comes in a very early Back to Godhead. It was actually written by Hanuman Prasad Poda. Prabhupada had him write an article. Have you all heard of Hanuman Prasad Poda? You all read Gita Press books. Anyway, he wrote an article about the two sides of a river. Maybe you know this. We used to do dramas of this. It's a very good drama. On one side of the river, people are living very happily, and on the other side of the river, people are miserable, and they all carry big bags of stones on their back. And the more heavy the bag of stones you can carry, the more you're considered a success. So sometimes on the stone-carrying side of the river, people, they look up from holding their bags, and they look up, and they look at the people, they're all living very happily, singing and dancing. And the people on the other side of the river say, why don't you come and join us? I think, really? Yeah, I could come and join. But I can't cross the river without putting down my stones. Then leave your stones and come. How can I leave my stones? Everyone will blame me. They'll say I'm a failure. So that's it exactly, isn't it? People, apa swartha parayana, they're attached to that which does them no good. Jaro vidya, jato maya bhaibhav. Tama bhajane bhadha, moha janamaya, anitta shangsari, jeev ke koriye gadha. Mundane education is simply a display of maya. Jaro vidya jato maya. It's an obstacle in serving Krishna. And in this world of birth and death, where everything is temporary, it increases the illusion and makes us into asses. The example is given of an ass. He carries things which are of no benefit to him whatsoever. Rocks, for instance. Sometimes you see them carrying rocks. Nowadays, everything is done by tempo. The asses don't have a job anymore. They just keep them for giving donkey's milk for people who have, what is it, diabetes or something. Donkey's milk is... Yeah, it's the only function is donkey's milk. And you can keep them in a zoo and have donkey protection or something like that. But the other one thing, carrying rocks, and the other great profession of the asses used to be the dobi's ass. And you'd used to see a big, huge pile of washing going down the street with four little thin legs underneath it. You can hardly see the ass, just a huge pile of washing with a little bit of head sticking out at the front, a little bit of tail at the back, and four legs. And that was the carrying something which is of no benefit to him whatsoever. So it's like this mundane education. You learn so many things which not only, most of it's not helpful at all in any way whatsoever to what you're going to do in future. And just like one teacher at school, the school I was in, he said, there was some class on sociology, and I just said, this is all nonsense. And the teacher said, yeah, but you just have to study it, and then you finish your exam, and the moment you finish your exam, you can just forget it. That's all. So most of it's useless. I remember it was just studying about fishermen in one city in England called Hull, and how they come back from the ship and they go around the pubs and they get drunk. And what's the use of everyone knows fishermen get drunk. I mean, they give it all these fancy names like anemone and all these names. And you have to learn the names of Durkheim and Weber and all this just to say that fishermen, they get drunk. So what? What's new? So a lot of what you study at the school is useless, but a lot, or the whole attitude that comes with it, is a lot worse than useless, because you get the idea that you have to study, and the more you study, the more of a success you are. But actually, you're not a success. It's just the opposite. Because it's piling on more stones, more rubbish in our head. The whole idea that we become successful by material advancement. So, if we want to preach what Prabhupada has given in his books, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Now I'm saying these things. I don't know what you're thinking. But so far you're respectful and polite. But if I'd been doing this in, say, the Lions Club or the Rotary Club, by now they would have stopped me. They wouldn't be able to tolerate. I used to sometimes give talks in Rotary Clubs. And I used to tell them, I used to be in the Rotary Club, but I left. I say, oh, which Rotary Club? It's called Repeated Birth and Death. I left that club. Everyone's in the Rotary Club. You don't have to join the Rotary Club. It hurts. It hurts. To give up the polluted aim of life. But this is really what we need to communicate. More than rules of Sanskrit grammar and this and that. That is required for what you are doing. But what you're being taught, the essence is not rules of Sanskrit grammar. Because there have been so many expert Sanskrit grammarians who missed the whole point. And even Shankara himself says, what does he say in this regard? Bhajagovindam. Samprapte sanihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. Even Shankara says, he himself was expert in what Prabhupada called word jugglery. in twisting the grammar to mean something else than it was. But that's, and therefore we need Vaishnav scholars to put people's brain in order when it's been all messed up by studying Shankara's commentaries. That's required. And that's how the Vaishnava acharyas, they replied to Shankara. Practically the whole of Vaishnavism after Shankara, Ramanuja, his teachings are based on Shankara refuting Shankara. And Madhva, his teachings are based on refuting Shankara and Ramanuja. Or he said he didn't like Ramanuja either, because he thought Vishisht Advaita, he didn't like that word at all. Advaita, he didn't like it. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant Hare Krishna. And then why not refuting all those? Already the previous Vaishnava acharyas did that. So if you want to get into big Vedanta studies, already it's still they're doing. Madhva scholars still get into disputes up to the present day with Shankara scholars, and they have discussions and this and that which no one else can understand, but it doesn't make any difference to anyone or anything. It's like a kind of sport going on, but at that time they were very, very serious. So nowadays we need to convince people in the vernacular languages. One reason why Buddhism was able to spread was because they didn't need to be in Sanskrit, because they didn't accept the Vedas, and so they did in vernacular languages, and it could spread very easily. So we have to convince people of the facts that the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. That's it, in essence. That's what we have to convince people. And so many things we may have to go through. You're specializing in Sanskrit and commentaries. Others will have to specialize in science, because in the name of science there's so much misleading. That's just as important as studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and the commentaries, is if someone has a science background, they can use that to prove that what the scientists are saying is all wrong, if they don't recognize Krishna. And there's a Bhagavatam verse for scientists also. What's that? And there are many, but what's that? Does anyone know? What Prabhupada said should be the motto of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Anyone? Idang hipungsas tapasashrutasya vasvishtasya suktasya cha buddhidatayo ho avichutarto kavibhya nirupita ya uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. That all endeavors, tapasya, idang hipungsas tapasa, shruta, studying the shastra, performing sacrifices and worship, all these intellectual pursuits, they all reach their perfection if they're used for glorification of Krishna. So anyway, that's the point. The purpose of the Krishna Conscious Movement is to try to convince people about the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And what is that? Without Krishna, one cannot be happy. That is the point. And without Krishna means we have to surrender to Krishna and accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. You might think that studying all the Sanskrit is a bit tough, but actually convincing people that they have to surrender to Krishna, it's a lot tougher. You have a lot of experience all your life, right? Struggling there in Orissa, Manchester. Tough job. Hare Krishna. I'm going to finish there. I've taken lots of your time. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
We can take a few questions.
Oh, all right.
Maharaj, thank you very much. Nice, comparative, analytical. Knowledge.
Nice. I wasn't trying to be nice. Whatever else I was trying to do, I wasn't trying to be nice.
So analytical comparative knowledge you have given us between the Madhav Seva.
Okay, what's the question?
Question is, Maharaj, pseudo devotee and real devotee, on the perspective of goal of life, how Krishna is looking this?
I don't get the question.
Maharaj, my question is a pseudo devotee and real devotee. On the perspective of goal of life, how Krishna is looking this?
I'm sorry, can anyone understand the question and rephrase it for me to understand? Aap Hindi mein bata? Any other question in the meantime?
Hare Krishna. So I listened to the class and I was thinking, you're saying so many things about people coming into Vrindavan and just being, just staying here and how they are not preaching. They're just benefiting themselves, and devotees, they should preach. But at the same time, we're hearing about pseudo-spiritualism, people who are pretending. They're just taking some advantage, abusing spiritual things for their sense gratification. They want to get something out of it for sense gratification. And even preachers are doing that. Preachers are doing that. They're the worst. They're the worst cheats you've ever seen. So my question is, Lord Chaitanya says, first become perfect and then preach. So what does he mean?
What does Lord Chaitanya mean, say, when he says, make your life perfect and then... Well, in regard to this, when Prabhupada was asked about this, that... Someone says, first you have to become perfect, then only you should preach. And Prabhupada said, then you'll never become perfect. Relative perfection. Because no one, a Vaishnava never thinks I'm perfect. We have the idea of, just like if you do yoga, Patanjali Yoga, you get the idea of siddhi, and then you attain some siddhi. But Vaishnavas, I remember some place in Ireland, I was supposed to give a talk, some public talk, and I was advertised as a bhakti yoga master, because they have like this different kinds of yoga, Raja Yoga master, but it's a completely different conception in bhakti. The idea is not to become a master. So, in different places, Srila Prabhupada said that if one is chanting, specifically in the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, it's not the first verse. He said, Dikshasti Chait Parnatibish Shabadantam Isham. What's the next line? Nindadi Shunya. What is the verse? Nindadi Shunya. Hridayam Ipsita Sangal Labda. So Srila Prabhupada says that, talking about an Uttam Adhikari, he says that one who is chanting 60 rounds, following the four regulated principles, and is always saying how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, can be accepted as an Uttam Adhikari. That's one definition he gave. So, but of course there is also the idea of false devotee. Karmi, Jnani, Mitcha, Bhakta, Nahoitate, Anurakta. Narottam Das says, I will not be attached to Karmis, Jnanis, and false devotees. So that's there also. And we also have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the description of the Bhakti Lata, the growing creeper of devotional service. But it's also one that there may be plants which look like the bhakti lata, but which are not. And we may be nourishing the wrong kind of plant, which actually chokes the bhakti lata. So it requires sincerity and mercy to be able to understand the difference. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, practically so much of his mission was in cutting out the wrong ideas. His real aim was to give Krishna Prem, but he had to cut through so many wrong ideas. So that will always be there. And Prabhupada's warnings are there, how this movement can be sidetracked. So that's there. But in speaking here, I'm presuming that who I'm speaking to, everyone's very sincere to serve Prabhupada's mission. That's presumed. If you want to take advantage of the Krishna Conscious Movement for labh, puja, pratishtha, for profit, adoration and distinction, then probably coming and studying at this school isn't the best way to go about it. There's not a lot of labh, puja or pratishtha going on here, I suspect.
His question is, like a pseudo devotee, he knows, like my ambition is to go to Krishna.
A pseudo devotee knows my ambition is to go to Krishna.
But how Krishna? How Krishna sees this?
Pseudo devotee. No, they're mad. Pseudo devotee means one who's pretending to be a devotee. But what you're saying, someone who thinks my aim is to go to Krishna, but their understanding is mixed up very badly with the polluted aim of life. That would more qualify as a Kanishta Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari is not... It can be borderline, or the two kinds can be mixed up, but the neophyte devotee is not mentioned as one who's deliberately cheating or making a show of devotional service, but Jaha Komal Shraddha, who has got weak faith in pure devotional service, which means their ideas are mixed up with material ideas. But they're not deliberately misleading others in the name of devotion. But it can morph from the... If one doesn't try to get better association and improve, then it's like one becomes fixed in that and one starts preaching that and then one becomes a pseudo devotee. How does Krishna see it? Well, Krishna knows what is what. Krishna gives us the right way to understand through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Maharaj, Maharaj, I was spending last 25 days in Mayapur with a very high profile devotees of a society.
Don't ask me questions that I may say something critical. I was just told I shouldn't do that.
Yes, so I'm not. So I have 7 questions, but I would like to ask you in person. And if you permit, I'll show you the questions. And if you allow, we can record that, because it is just clarification. There are some misunderstandings regarding what you teach, so. I noticed.
See, what you say misunderstanding, someone will say is the proper understanding. How are we to adjudicate this? Then we have to see Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, especially we have to see through Prabhupada's books and his broader teachings.
So Maharaj, is it okay with you if we can...
Okay, fire away.
Personally, if we can...
Fadavat.
Oh, okay.
If I don't like it, I'll tell you. I don't mind, but I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
So what, speak no evil.
So what is your understanding of bridge preaching?
See my book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service.
If you have to summarize this in...
Bridge preaching means all preaching is bridge preaching, because we're supposed to be on one side of the Vaitarani and they're supposed to be on the other. So we're supposed to be bringing them over. The bridge is Krishna consciousness, but you have to make contact with them. If you just go and tell them, surrender to Krishna, they don't even know who Krishna is. So you have to make some kind of communication at their level. But the idea is to bring them over. If you get stuck on the bridge or if you get pulled over that side, then it's bridge preaching in reverse. You get pulled over. Otherwise, all preaching is bridge preaching. Except in the case of very exalted souls, where Narad comes to Vyasadeva and tells him, you're doing all nonsense and you should just glorify Krishna. But that's... Otherwise, for most people, how are you? Where are you coming from? How do you feel? This and that. You try to make some kind of relationship, and then you sell them a book, or you try to give them the message of Bhagavad Gita like that. All preaching is bridge preaching. But we should follow Prabhupada's example and see what he did. He did things which were pleasing to the public. Rath Yatra is very pleasing to the public. He was directly Krishna conscious. In Bombay, he married Western devotees on stage in front of thousands of people and said, "This is the real United Nations." People loved it. It's not exactly the message of Bhagavad Gita. This is the real United Nations. But in another way it is.
Next question.
Well, here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the members of the Krishna Consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. That's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? Seeing as there are so many. Now we find that ISKCON Center is being opened with yoga studios. But Prabhupada says right in the purport here, we're not interested in making yoga studios. You say, well, get people to chant Hare Krishna. Well, you can go to a yoga studio and get people to chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to make a yoga studio to do that. In one country I was in, they had a regular yoga class, and I came in. A devotee was giving a yoga class, and then I was supposed to come in and give a talk after that. And they convinced some of the people at the yoga class, run by a devotee, to stay because they see it's a very high level devotee. And I said, actually, this yoga, it's all nonsense. I just told them straightforwardly. It's because the real goal of life is to understand who we are. We're spiritual living beings. We're not the body. And doing this yoga makes... Unless we have a clear understanding that we're not the body, it makes us more in bodily consciousness. And I said to the yoga teacher, who's an initiated devotee, this is useless for preaching. And he agreed. He'd been doing it for so many months. I said, these people, they've got no... Another place I went to where for months they'd been doing... For months they'd been just calling all the students and giving them, having kirtan and prasadam. And then I spoke some philosophy. They weren't used to it. They didn't like it at all, even after months of kirtan and prasadam, because they hadn't been told the philosophy. They really didn't like it. So about feeding, Prabhupada said that simply to give prasad without kirtan and spiritual instruction is nonsense. So he had to give them instruction also. Otherwise, anyway, just like Sai Baba's followers, they all chant the holy names, but they don't make any spiritual advancement. So you have to get, the message has to be given. It may be given with sugar-coated pills, but the message has to be given. Anyway, I wrote about it in that book, on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Yeah.
The real reason for which Srila Prabhupada started the society.
The real reason, I already read it 3 or 4 times from here. Members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. It's about the 4th time I read it already.
So, what is your message to the preachers of this society?
What is the message to the preachers of this society?
Especially for those who are not following the lines.
Well, I... Who's going to listen? They read Prabhupada's books, listen to his lectures, and repeat. That's all. It's not a difficult thing to understand. It's a difficult thing to do. It's more difficult if we actually try to do it, we'll find it's not so easy. It's a simple thing. Prabhupada explained it so many times. Dare deko, tare koha, Krishna upadesh. You just take the message as you've heard it and repeat it. You may do it in your own language. It may not be in exactly the same linguistic format that Srila Prabhupada did so. In fact, those who are going among scientists and trying to present this, he specifically said, you present it in scientific language. So it may be the linguistic format may be different, but the message ultimately has to be the same. There's an example of bridge preaching. Scientists. You don't go into science and say surrender to Krishna. You present a paper saying, all in all technical language, and saying that just like the monograph by Dr. Richard L. Thompson, Sadaput, demonstration by information theory that life cannot arise from matter. Well, that's the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. But he doesn't put Bhagavad Gita verses in there. It's all technical and scientific symbols. There's bridge preaching. Very much approved by Prabhupada.
Maharaj, one question.
I've got nothing. If you can get people to do yoga and then they surrender to Krishna, fine. Great. But if they end up just doing yoga, then what's the point? We wasted our time. You have to see. Judge by the result.
There is one question which was commonly been asked, especially to me, that have you stopped giving second initiations to your female disciples?
No. I've pretty much stopped giving it to almost everyone. Not only to females, because the idea is if we're going to establish Varnashram and we make everyone a Brahmana, then where's the Varnashram? There should be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. So Brahmanical initiation should be for men who are living as Brahmanas. Otherwise, if someone's working in a job, getting a salary, then where's the Varnashram? But Pancharatriki Diksha can be given to everyone, men, women, if they're devotees. But as far as designating everyone as a Brahmana, from my understanding of Prabhupada, he himself said so many times, it's not that everyone has to be a Brahmana. As a Vaishnava, everyone's more than a Brahmana. But if we're going to have Varnashram, then we can't just call everyone a Brahmana, because then it becomes meaningless. And there's no Varnashram. So generally I don't give Brahminical initiation to those who are working in a job.
Maharaj, there was another question, that in your classes you make people differentiate and like...
I make them what?
In your Bhagavatam classes, you make people sit, if someone is a Shudra, Vaishya, Brahmana and Kshatriya, they sit separately.
Really? Which lifetime was that? I don't remember.
So this was a question which was been discussed.
By who?
By someone. I don't wish to take the name, but...
Well, first you should try to find out if it's true. Bhaktivikas Swami drinks 3 gallons of chicken blood first thing in the morning. We should discuss this. Well, first you should discuss if it's true. People have active imaginations.
But a second last question. There's in the current scenario there, you see the topic of the female Diksha Guru is going on. But there are disputes among the devotees. But what message would you like to give to your followers in this situation? What should be their mood?
It's difficult because it's almost like something is out of your control and you can't do anything. You can try and say, but then the whole movement is in a very precarious situation, on the verge of a split. It's a very, and it seems there's nothing we can do about it. So go on chanting Hare Krishna, and
the last question,
the best we can.
The last question, Maharaj. This was been also discussed very heavily amongst the senior devotees there. Will you live
there
in Mayapur? Will you leave ISKCON?
They're hoping I do. In the Buddhist tradition, just after Buddha left, all the leaders came together and they discussed, where do we go from here? And in the course of the history of Buddhism and in the course of the history of Christianity, there have been times when some kind of logjam had come and the different groups, they couldn't agree with each other. So they come together, they had Buddhist councils, first Buddhist council, second Buddhist council, then the Christian councils, and then they all sit together, maybe for weeks and months, and discuss everything thoroughly. And then they decide, where are we going to go from here? After thorough discussion, however much time it takes. Not that we have a meeting and we have to, by the time this meeting is over, we have to set the course for the whole Krishna Consciousness Movement. We have to make some major change that's going to affect the whole movement in future. But we have to do it because we have to finish the meeting. But in such a crucial situation, better we take the time, however much time. If it takes 1 year, take 1 year. If it takes 5 years, take 5 years. Sit and discuss and then come to a conclusion. And then if others don't like it, then they have to leave, that's all. That's what happened in Buddhism and Christianity, they do that. So I would say, better we all come together and discuss. And Prabhupada's plans for Varnashram, should we not be trying to implement that? Should that not be discussed? At least it should be discussed. If we think that we can't do it now, at least we should say we can't do it now and give the reasons why, although Prabhupada wanted it done immediately. So you see, this question of female Diksha Guru is just one question. The whole direction of the movement should be asked. We should take the time to do that in as far as possible in a cool-headed way. But what I see now is just you're a feminist, you're a misogynist, and where's the progress? It's just coming together and there'll be some split.
Maharaj, please forgive me for asking you these questions.
Yeah.
But I thought that these were very important and we're creating so many misunderstandings.
Will I leave ISKCON? Actually, I used to say, if they push this female Diksha Guru thing through, then where does the last straw come? We have a gay-friendly movement in which homosexual marriages performed by ISKCON officials are allowed. It's not officially allowed, but it's going on, and there's nothing from the higher level saying not to do it, so... Brazil. Yeah, yeah. And there's rumors it's been done in America by an ISKCON guru also. But rumors are rumors. It's rumored that, what was that? I make the brahmanas and vaishyas all sit together separately. There's no basis in fact whatsoever. It's completely new to me. I never heard any such. So it may or may not be true. But there are so many things which I'm unhappy about. And does there come a point where you say enough is enough? Like the frog being cooked in the water. You know that example? You have a frog in a pot of cool water. Gradually you heat it, and the frog doesn't notice that it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and when it's too late, he can't jump out. He's cooked. So it's like that. Slouching to Gomorrah. There's a book in America written by a Christian who says that our Gomorrah in the Old Testament, it's a city which is full of all vice. So slouchy, it means you're going slowly with awkward steps, we're just going to hell. That's the message that the title of that book gives. So, Hare Krishna, study your Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Whatever happens, whatever is done that shouldn't be done, or is not done what should be done, you go on chanting Hare Krishna. Whatever anyone else may do, you can go on chanting Hare Krishna and studying Prabhupada's books and keep association with those who are serious to do so. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right. You please distribute this. I'm not going to do so because I have to save my hand. It's also why I don't play kartals and madanga, because I need to do typing, write my books. Strain in my hands.
We'll request Jagadatma Prabhu. Jagadatma Prabhu, please can you distribute sweets to all the devotees? Please come here.
Hare Krishna.